Hey y'all, it's 1:35 p.m. on March 9th, 2016, and this is the Daily Talk with Taylor Thibodeau, bringing you all the positivity in the Black community. Today, we are so pumped to welcome special guest and amazingly gifted visual artist and producer, Jordan Tucker. Yay! Hey. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So, could you please explain to the listeners at home, what exactly is a visual artist?
Well, my definition of a visual artist is somebody who makes art that you can see.
Okay, of course.
As simple as that might may be, but I kind of like made it generalized because I do photography, video, graphic design, all kinds of things. You know, I work in media, so.
Wow, so you like dabble in a little bit of everything.
Got to.
So
you are definitely creating all
yeah,
that.
You're definitely a well-rounded artist. You're not just, you know, a music artist or,
right.
You know, just a photographer.
Behind the scenes and on the scenes.
Yeah, yeah. So you produce too, right?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple artists I work with, Jimmy Hustle and STR. They're from Cleveland. They live out here in California as well, in L.A., I produce for both of them. We have a project out called The Plain Dealer with Jimmy Hustle. It's going. It's on live mixtapes right now.
Dope. Which he just gave me right now.
Yes,
I'm excited to listen to it later.
Fire.
Yeah.
I produced about 7 to 9 tracks on there. You know, we got collabs with people back home. We also have a collab with Rhett George, who also, I think he was on Broadway. And he also opened up for somebody.
He opened up for somebody
in Vegas.
But well, that's still a big deal. Yeah, that's what's up.
He's pretty good. We got a track win out there with Rhett George, who that pretty goes pretty hard.
That is so cool. Tight. That's so cool. So could you give a little bit of, you know, backstory on how you got started doing everything that you do?
All right. Well, when I was in high school, YouTube dropped.
Oh.
In 06.
Okay.
I don't know if I dated myself to some of these people out here, but I was around when YouTube dropped, when MySpace came out. You know, Tom was my friend.
Tom was my friend as well.
And I had a Sony CyberShot camera. And what I'd do with my friends, I'd just say, hey, let's just shoot some dumb stuff. So I always videotape myself dancing and acting crazy and silly. And then I started posting on YouTube, and everything just started blowing up a little bit because a lot of people weren't doing it. And from then on, I was like, wow, like this can be pretty tight. Like I can do this. And it's something that always kind of like stuck with me. And when I got into music, I always played in the orchestra as well. I played violin, viola. And then my homie STR, the artist I work with now, he is rapping. And I started producing for him. And then I was like, okay, I shoot little videos here and there. So I started like videotaping him freestyling. Mm. I started, you know, interviewing other artists and locally in the area, and kind of like created like a thing that people started to know me by. And then it just kind of grew and grew. And then when I went to college, kind of focused more on baseball because I was a baseball player.
Oh, what position did you play?
First base.
Turn
you
up.
Know.
So did I.
Hey.
Hey.
Scoop game crazy.
Yes, indeed.
Wash U, baby. Wash University.
Shout
Go
out.
Cavs. Go Cavs. Beat Malone. But, yeah, so, you know, I focused on baseball at that point. But when I got out, you know, throughout that time, let me backtrack a little bit. Junior year, junior, senior year, I did 5 years. One of those years, I can't remember.
It's a lot of years.
But I got my camera, I got my Canon, and then I started taking everything a little bit more serious. I was like, okay, I do interviews here or there, but I'm also a pretty good photographer, so like I might as well just start taking that serious. So I started taking it serious, started doing parties and, you know, whatever, and started shooting music videos as well.
Yeah, and so you tried everything.
Yeah, like it's pretty much, I just, up until now and even still then, like I've just been literally just trying out everything
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, so like things for you started out like just as fun, and then now you're kind of like honing in on your skills
yeah.
And actually, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was like one of those things where, all right, you're coming up in a community where you're expected to do something, but you do this. Oh. But like, you know, like, yeah, I graduated, or I'm supposed to go to school, get married, whatever, house, dog.
Of course.
All that other stuff.
The typical life that our parents want for us.
Exactly. But I'm like, all right, I'm good at media stuff. Like, I'm good at shooting videos. I'm good at taking pictures. I'm good at making music. Where do I fit in? You know what I mean? So I saw an opportunity where I could come out here, and then I took it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Like, so when you started off producing, did you learn how to do the beats on your own, or did you, like, watch videos? Like, how did you...
Like, at that time, it was kind of like before tutorials were really up on YouTube and everything. And so it was kind of like, yeah, I did have to learn a lot, trial and error. I mean, luckily, I already knew how to make music, so I knew what sounded good. And I picked producers that I looked up to that I really liked their music, like Kanye, Just Blaze, Swizz Beatz, you know, people like that, Pharrell, and DJ Paul. Try to really mimic what they do, or just use that kind of like strategy towards the way I made my music. So from there on, I kind of just developed. And of course, I had like a group of people that are also making beats as well. And then, you know, we just kind of all learned together. And then.
So you got like a whole camp.
Yeah.
Y'all been together for a while, y'all squad.
Had a few people back then. You know, now it's like right now on the production side is me and my homie Ant Trees. We call ourselves Fifth Coast. Fifth Coast Productions.
What's the story behind that?
Oh, we just been making music for a while. You know, he is a part of a group called The Most. They're an EDM group.
Okay.
And they did a lot of work. They worked with Gladiator, you know, Sign Fool's Goat. And, you know, he came out here recently, and we've been, you know, pretty much like working just to build on what we're building on for here on now, you know, with Jimmy Hustle, STR, and whoever else we're looking to expand as well.
Yeah, that's always good to have like a group of people to come up with, because you guys really support each other and y'all have that family.
Yeah, it's pretty much just we're all from the same community, Cleveland Heights, uptown.
Yeah.
And we just literally just been, we're all about our art.
Okay, so you're from Cleveland. So at what moment did you know you wanted to move to LA and really do this?
Well, I never really had a plan to move out here. I actually wanted to move to Florida.
Whoa, okay.
I was ready to like literally just kind of lightweight settle down almost. It was kind of weird.
You wanted to settle in Florida.
I was going to like do weddings and stuff. Or senior photos, engagement photos. I didn't necessarily want to do that, but I was like, well, what I'm going to do? I didn't really see what I wanted to do happening the way I wanted it to happen in Cleveland or in Ohio, Northeast Ohio. Yeah. So I was just like, man, I'm just about to get up out of here. Jimmy Hustle, he already moved out to California, out here to LA, and then he came home to visit, and then we were shooting some stuff, and he was like, man, I need my cameraman. That's how he talks. I need my cameraman, Thug.
Oh, okay.
And then,
I wish I can get him. I want to get him to the studio.
Got to get him out here.
Yeah, I want to interview him. He seems like an interesting character.
He's a very interesting character.
Yeah.
Very lively person. But he was like, I need my cameraman. And I was like, okay. I just graduated, and I was like about to start working at Home Depot as a lot associate, a loader. I was landscaping.
How boring is that for a creative person?
Oh, wow.
It was
nuts. Like it's kind of weird seeing people you grew up with or playing baseball with. They see you like loading, like cleaning up the parking lot at Home Depot with a degree.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. It's like
it was a little, but it was kind of like by choice because I knew I didn't want to wear a suit and tie.
Wasn't the life that you wanted to lead.
And I had opportunities where I could have probably did some things, but it was kind of like I just gotta figure this out the way I feel like I need to figure it out. So he gave me a year. I was like, give me a year. So throughout that time, I coached baseball at my old high school. And then, you know, I landscaped and did whatever I did, you know, whatever gigs I could get. And then I moved out here.
Wow. That is a humble story.
September 11th. I flew out here. It's 2016 right now, right?
Yeah. What year you thought it was? Hello? No,
I don't know. But I think 2013, 2014. Yeah, 2013.
You like it out here?
Yeah, I like it a lot. Actually, it took a little time to grow on me, about a year or so. But
really, because usually people that move here, they like love it, like off the hand, like.
See, but like the thing is, a lot of people, you know, when they move to a place like this, or they'll leave wherever they grew up at. Like I mean, I come from a cool foundation, family, mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, good community. I wasn't even running from nothing. Like I left on good terms. You know what I mean? Like I had no reason to leave, other than like I just wanted to change the scenery. But I saw the business opportunities out here where this was actually an industry that wasn't really existent in Cleveland, you know, as far as with media outlets, yeah. Just a community of people that do exactly what I do and take their job serious and they're in it for more than just the money. So.
Gotcha. So what was your transition like? Leaving Cleveland to LA, like, did you experience any adversity or, you know, any struggles?
From moving from here to LA is
from Cleveland. Like, from here to LA. Yeah. No, you're good.
Nap time.
Not nap time on my show, man. No.
Disease. No, but as far as like it's just a different world out here. Just the demographics of people, you know what I mean, and their cultural influences on the city. You know, it takes a lot of, you know, to get used to just everything, just the landscape of the city, infrastructure, you know, all that. Yeah. Just, you know, it's so spread out. It takes so long to do little things sometimes.
Yeah, you got to drive like 50 minutes to get
right.
You'd be stuck in traffic for like 30 to try to get somewhere that's like 10 minutes away. And all, it's just.
Right. Yeah. But the thing is, though, those like 30 minute like long. Those 30 minute trips are like they seem a lot shorter than, say, a drive from Cleveland to Akron. And that's a half an hour. But the reason why is because from Cleveland to Akron, that's Akron's where LeBron James is from, for those people that don't know.
Let them know.
there's nothing but farm, like farmland in between Cleveland and Akron. Like,
oh, wow.
Or like Cleveland to Canton, where I went to school, is an hour and 15. And
so it just seems like it's a long distance,
yeah,
because like
you just kinda like,
it's just nothing going on but like, cows.
And yeah, like I drove to Long Beach like a week or so ago to do a gig, and it was nothing.
Really? I hate driving to Long Beach.
It's damn near.
Oh my God. I cannot drive to Long Beach.
Sorry about that.
No.
It was kind of like an hour, though. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, good for you that you enjoyed that drive. I'm glad you like it here, though. Like, that's really good. So let's get into, you know, working behind the lens and, you know, and obviously race issues. So
sure.
Being someone who is behind the lens, you probably like understand the marketing aspect of things. Like, so have you ever witnessed any sort of biased opinion on what sells and what doesn't sell? You know, like maybe in the black community, you know how people say dark skin versus light skin, this one sells, but that one doesn't. And if we want this look, we have to get this kind of person. Have you ever had to been around that or heard that conversation?
I mean, a little bit. It's kind of like more from what my experiences are, because like in the media side, I work in hip hop for the most part, hip hop culture. So it's really hashtag driven.
Okay.
So like, of course, as far as like looks and everything, that's always, you know, an objective, I guess, or whatever. But it's kind of like, okay, if you're a person, no matter what you look like, if you know how to make yourself look good, you know what I mean? Be the best person you can be every day. But as far as like just what needs to be pushed, it's like it's super hashtag driven, you know what I mean?
Hashtag meaning, what do you mean?
Like whatever's trending, you know, like everything's moving so fast right now that, okay, one second, we're hashtagging vacuums. So, you'll probably see, like, on Complex or some other, on some media outlet, them talking about, vacuums. Oh, Kanye tweeted about his vacuum today. And so everybody
got running
cover that or something. It's a free-for-all, but, it, you know, it's kind of like just whatever trends.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So being a black man, I know you are from Cleveland, but have you experienced any kind of obstacle, you know, like maybe being pulled over by the police or something? Like, have you experienced that versus Cleveland and LA?
Well, you know, say you go to a place like Ohio, it's a little bit more, well, just Midwest in general, it's a little bit more conservative compared to Southern California.
Where anything goes.
Anything goes.
Out Everyone's here. Free spirited, yeah. And happy. Yeah.
For real. And, you know, back home, like, say, there's a lot of speed traps, like, as far as cops trying to pull people over just because to make that quota, I guess.
Right.
Cough. And, but yeah, I go back home. Say, I go back home and I'll just get followed by cops all day.
Really?
Like, I could be like, I'm from a small, like literally a small town, Cleveland Heights, University Heights. You know, it's like it probably covers probably like no more than 10 miles or something, like in radius or something. I don't know. But I could see the same cop, and that same cop will probably mess around and follow me every single day.
Mm-mm.
I can see them scanning my plates. That's probably happened to me one time out here.
Really? One time?
Yeah, one time. And
that's great to hear.
And there was probably like one situation like where I was with my homie and we were riding on Hollywood. But he had just got this new car. Well, it wasn't even a new car. It was just like a point A, point B car that he just bought when he just moved out here. And we got pulled over randomly like on Hollywood just because. And they made up some excuse saying one of our reverse lights were off. Some light that doesn't even exist on the car.
Really?
Yeah. It was nuts.
Did anyone get in trouble from that?
No, they gave him a warning to just make sure he got all his tags and stuff up to date.
Like, oh, wow.
Got all his license.
Because I was about to say, if they took y'all in, maybe y'all could...
That would have been crazy.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, fortunately, I was always a person that I kind of always, like, stayed away from a lot of trouble. You know, so I never usually gave, you know, cops an initial reason to even suspect a lot of things.
Okay, well, that's good.
I was always focused on other stuff.
That's good. Now, earlier you and I were talking about, you know, like where you grew up and being a quote unquote different kind of African American.
Yeah.
Could you please explain that? Because I feel like a lot of people might need to, you know, hear that aspect.
Right. I'm not from the hood. I will say that I don't have the same story a lot of people have as far as they say, like, I came from a single parent home, you know, and I grew up in poverty. Even if, put like this, the way my life was, even if we were poor, I wouldn't even know it. You know what I mean? Like, my parents, they're still together. They've been together for like 40 years. I'm the youngest of three boys, you know, and they're living successful lives with they're married with kids. You know,
right.
I come from like an area that's not like super suburbia or anything like that. It's like for real, kind of like a buffer zone, very diverse, all different economic classes. And there's a nice little mixture of races and it's really rich into the arts. And I kind of grew up that kind of life that, you know, a lot of people really aren't used to hearing in media about how black people are.
Now, is this a rare lifestyle? I mean, like, is this something that not many black people live, like, they don't live that way? Is it actually very common?
I feel like it's common. I mean, as far as just not necessarily exactly how my life is. Like, I went to a liberal arts Catholic university. You know, it was predominantly white, of course. I played baseball my whole life, you know, and I always had to deal with other races. You know, I mean, a lot of black people, they didn't have reasons to deal with other races. You know what I mean? Like, but I was always in positions where I had to. So, like, I always felt like I was kind of like I was very different. A lot of people looked at me like I was
different.
So that
made you very well-rounded in
yeah.
a sense. Like, you can connect with anyone and
right.
you can hold your own in
right.
the room.
Right, 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 right.
Cool. So what do you think needs to be done in efforts to catapult the black community in a positive direction?
I feel like, you know, we just need to keep on focusing on what we do best. Like, and just don't forget that even though we bring up history a lot, you know, we are creating history currently, though. Like, there's everybody has a voice. Everybody has an opinion right now. And everybody has a purpose. And, you know, whatever you feel that purpose is, exploit it. You know, like, yeah, if you're a speaker, a public speaker, and you want to, you know, talk about, you know, social equality, yeah, then do that. But, you know, for a man like me, where I make art, so what I'm doing, I'm just trying to be the best, not necessarily the best black content creator or, you know, producer or whatever. Like, I'm just trying to be the best at what I do. So, like, when it's all said and done, they just look at my body of work, and then history says itself right there, you know?
It's a great answer. It's a great answer. So what do you think you're doing to help benefit the black community?
Well, you know, everything I do, I always got to make sure it's clean. I hold myself and people I work with to very high standards. And, you know, the people that I work with, they'll tell you I'm pretty hard on them sometimes.
That's good. We need that.
And, you know, I also do work with, you know, I always make sure I put myself in a position to work with other people from other backgrounds. You know, even just the fact of me just working with black people from L.A., that's a completely different background experience. You know, it's a completely different culture. If I go to Inglewood or somewhere like that where there's a lot of black people, and just to hear what they have to say about racial relations or just art, you know, because, you know, this is a place where a lot of this stuff is made that the world sees.
Hmm. Right, right. Okay, so what are you currently working on? Like, what projects are you currently doing?
Well, you know, we have the Plain Dealer out. If there's a camera up in here somewhere.
No, unfortunately not.
No cameras?
Okay. No cameras, but I can post it on my social media for you and let them know. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're going to get there. I promise.
It's okay. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, we have the Plain Dealer out right now, and we're pushing that. We have STR's project, Love is a Strong Word. That's out. That's on SoundCloud, on his SoundCloud. You can follow him on Instagram at JustSpellSTR. Follow Jimmy Hustle at Jimmy Hustle. And follow Ant Trees, you know, my homie, Ant Trees, Fifth Coast, at Taco Toucher on Instagram.
Taco Toucher?
Taco Toucher.
Lord.
Because he used to work at a taco spot.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had to. You know, explain
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah,
real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've been working on that, and literally, I've just really been just building on the photography side, working with other people. Been shooting these videos. I have a new YouTube account I just started called Chillmaker TV. I've been working on building that. Expect some content to come from that in 2016. We have Jimmy Hustle's reality show. Web series called Faded with Jimmy Hustle. He's actually a celebrity barber as well. So we had Molly Mall on there.
Yeah, let him know whose heads he's been cutting, because yeah, I saw a couple.
We had Lil Ronnie, you know, the dude who made that Throw It in the Circle song. We had...
Wait, what's his name?
Lil Ronnie.
Lil Ronnie? I never knew his name.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, we had him. We had Sincerely Collins from Arizona. He's probably the top artist out of Arizona right now, doing a lot of big things. We had Justin Hunt on there, editor-in-chief of Hip Hop DX. We've had Idie Amin from Outlaws. He used to be with Tupac. We've had...
What?
There's a lot of people. I don't know why I always draw blanks. We had Steve LaBelle on there, you know, legendary manager, hip-hop OG.
Has he ever? Bone I don't know why I want to say manager, Snoop Dogg. Work. I don't know why that. Did he?
He probably did do it.
Maybe
he worked. I think he currently works with Nipsey.
And, okay, maybe.
Yeah, and he's Bone's manager, Bone Thugs. By the way, Bone Thugs, Cleveland. What's up? 216 stand up.
Jimmy is manager of Bone Thugs.
No. We had Steve LaBelle on there.
Oh,
that's okay. Bone's manager.
Wow. This show really like heavily connects him to.
Yeah.
Different people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And connects you as well.
It's pretty tight. What he does is like he cuts their hair, he interviews them, plays a game of beer pong at the end for a prize.
Wow.
Yeah, and it got picked up by Hip Hop DX in 2016. So
that's
we've been
amazing.
Rolling with that. Yeah.
Congratulations to him and you.
Yeah, I think we actually have a episode dropping with Malik Yousef coming up. He's one of Kanye's right hand men. Yeah.
Look at you guys. Y'all really doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. That is really inspiring for anyone that's, you know, coming up trying to do what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Like, you really are, you know, pushing the movement forward by making moves and really getting in there. That's what's up.
Yeah.
So we're coming to the end.
No.
But I have a game that I like to play with my guests called Spilling the Tea. So you're just going to pick maybe two or three topics out of the teacup, read it on air, and then answer it for me.
I can write, but I can't read.
Yeah, you can't read. You went to college.
Stacey Dash or Raven Simone. what about them?
Which one would you pick? Who would you rather? Who would you rather be stuck in a room with?
I'd rather be in a room with Stacey Dash
because
she's a lot lighter on the eyes, softer on the eyes, than Raven. Yeah.
Even someone who doesn't even think that there should be a Black History Month.
I think she's just getting that check.
You think so? You think it's a publicity stunt?
I don't know.
You just said you think she's getting a check.
I don't know.
You don't know.
But like who really knows? Like sometimes she says what she says and it put like this, you put her on a different platform, it might come across a different way.
True.
And she on count that she's on Fox and she's doing what she's doing.
Then, she probably has to.
Yeah, and you everybody on that station has to take a stance on that. There's people that switched over and they're conservative and they'll switch networks and before you know it they're liberals.
True. Next question.
For sure. Stacey Dash. First crush? Like celebrity crush or
first crush ever in life.
Oh man.
What was her name and tell us the story real quick?
I was in kindergarten.
In kindergarten?
Her name was Samantha Boss.
I just put out a fool.
My bad.
Well, let's hope Samantha don't listen to this.
Yeah.
Are you still friends with her?
No, I don't know what happened to her.
Okay, well, like, let's hope she don't listen.
She lived at the end of the street. She was it was crazy because she was actually the only white girl, like the only like white girl. I lived in a Black and Jewish neighborhood, but she's the only like white girl that lived on the street. It was kind of crazy.
And that's the one. Aww.
And we were like super tight, you know, play buddies and all that stuff. But I really do think her mom was not happy about that.
Oh, no.
Like she is hanging out with this little.
She didn't want the swirl to happen.
Yeah, so
she
like
she was not feeling the swirl.
Literally, we was kicking it all kindergarten, and then before you know it, the next year she moved somewhere. They packed up. They was like,
They're not letting this happen.
Mm-mm.
No, what's her name? Amanda.
Samantha.
Oh, Samantha. Ooh.
Can I do another one?
Yeah, go ahead.
I can do this all day.
Yeah.
One life, what? Wait. Life goals?
I know. My writing is a little ugly.
It's
Don't
all
judge
good.
Me. What are life? What are your life goals in 5 years?
Life goals in 5 years. I like to have a nice little media company and just want to be able to market and produce good content and people and just be able to give back to the community in which I'm from and just not necessarily with donating stuff or building stuff. Yeah, I want to be able to do that too as well on the philanthropy side, you know what I mean? But I definitely would like to be able to be an example for the youth on how to conduct yourself in life and just how you can't give up. Like I dealt with a lot of adversity in my life, you know, when I was in school and just now and since I lived out here and just growing up. But I never like let it get me down and always turn to my foundation. You know what I mean? Like I never ever felt I was alone because I knew somebody had my back because I was good at what I did.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And that was going to be my next question, advice that you had, and you just hit it on the head right now. Alrighty, so unfortunately, Jordan.
I don't want to leave.
I know, but this is the end. Could you drop your social media really quick?
But I gotta go right now. All right. my social media, you can holler at me on Instagram and Twitter at JTuckOx, JTUCKOX. Ox is my nickname. You can also follow my photography page on Instagram at JTuck_photo, PH, Yeah, photo. That kind of photo.
Get it together.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Oh, man. Taliban. No.
Perfect, perfect. So thank you so much, Jordan, for stopping by. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that's all for today with the Daily Talk with Taylor Thibodeau for KPCRadio.com. Until next time.